go to the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to find the book of Ezekiel is very strong, and it backs up entirely what God said there when we read it, when we went through it in the King James. But let's go here, Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. All right. And let's pick it up here in Ezekiel 20, and let's pick it up here in verse 7. Ezekiel 20 and verse 7. And I said to them, let every one cast away the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourself with the devices of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, when it talks about Egypt, I want you to put in your notes Revelation 11 and verse 8. Because it talks about Sodom and Egypt, the city where our Lord was crucified, referring to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem and the Jews and later the Hellenistic Christians and the Gnostic Christians brought every abomination of Egypt and brought it right into the so-called Christian church. They didn't do it, but they revolted from me and would not hearken unto me. They cast not away the abomination of their eyes, and forsook not the devices of Egypt. Then I said that I would pour out my wrath upon them and accomplish my fury upon them in the midst of Egypt. That was before they even left. But I wrought so that my name should not be profaned in all the sight of the Gentiles in the midst of whom they are, among whom I was made known to them in their sight, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That is, by all the signs, by all the wonders, by what Moses did, he was made known. Now, continuing on, verse 10, and I brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my commandments, and made known unto them my ordinances, all of which if a man shall do, he shall live in them. God expected them to live in them, just like he expects us to do today. And I gave them my Sabbaths, that they should be a sign between me and them, and that they should know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them. And I said to the house of Israel in the wilderness, walk in my commandments, but they walk not in them. And they rejected my ordinances, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And they grievously profaned my Sabbaths. Not just broke them a little bit, but grievously profaned them. Now, what does it mean to profane the Sabbath? That means to work on it, to labor on it, to trade on it, to disregard it. And as we saw previously, the children of Israel were carried into captivity because of Baal worship, which is Sunday worship, and they went right to the temple of God and said, we're delivered to do all of these things. Just exactly like the Protestants and Catholics today. No different. They are profaning the Sabbath of God. You look at any Saturday, and you see what the world does to it. You see how they profane it. Very few are keeping the Sabbath of God. That's why God is delighting in those who keep his Sabbath, that love him, keep his commandments. Grievously profane my Sabbath. And I said to them, I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought so that my name should not be profaned before all the Gentiles, before whose eyes I brought them out. But I lifted up my hand against them in the wilderness once for all, that I would not bring them into the land which I gave them. They did not enter into the rest because they rebelled, because they sinned, because they broke the Sabbath, because they rejected the commandments of God. And he was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as he says. It is sweeter than all the lands, because they rejected my ordinances and walked not in my commandments, but profaned my Sabbaths and went after the imagination of their hearts. Yet my eyes spared them so as not to destroy them utterly, and I would not make an end of them in the wilderness. Boy, I tell you, this is something. This is real strong. Brethren, you need to understand this. Please grasp what we're dealing with here concerning the Sabbath. This is not just to be taken lightly. This is a matter of truth and error. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of salvation or the lake of fire. We need to understand that. And I said to their children in the wilderness, walk not in the customs of your fathers, and keep not their commandments, and have no fellowship with their practices, nor defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my commandments, and keep my ordinances, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. Now, where it is to keep, it is philosa all the way through, to keep, to keep, to keep. They didn't do them. But now let's continue on here. Verse 21. But they provoked me, and their children walked not in my commandments, and took no heed to my ordinance to do them, which if a man do, even he shall live in them. And they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said to them, I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to accomplish my anger, but I wrought for my name's sake, not at all to be profaned before the Gentiles whom I brought them out. Verse 23, I lifted up my hand against them in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them in the countries, because they kept not my ordinances, reject my commandments, and profane my Sabbaths, and their eyes went after the imagination of their fathers. So then what did God do? He turned them over to their own devices called ordinances which were not good, judgments which were not good. In other words, God said, if you want it, you shall have it, and you will destroy yourself. And that was the punishment that God gave to them. Now, same thing today. If you want Sunday, you got it. But you're going to destroy yourself. Stop and think. Look at this nation that we have today in the United States. And we are a country that is more religious than any other country. Have more Bibles than any other country. Have more churches than any other country. But what do we have? Because you go after your own ordinances of Sunday, Christmas, and Easter, and all the abominations which God said not to do. What has happened? Look at our society. Are we polluting ourselves? Are we profaning ourselves? Are we destroying ourselves and our children and the whole society? Yes. And is not God going to bring judgment upon us for that? No question about it. It's coming. God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is not only coming in his fierce wrath, but it is also upon us, because as we continue to live in sin, we reap the harvest of sin with all of the penalty. And the wages of sin is death. And that's what this society has wrought, because they have done exactly as the children of Israel did in the wilderness, being the parents or the children. Now, let's come back to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and let's look at Hebrews 4:9 again. And let's understand something here. Let's ask the question, who are the people of God? Because I know there will be some who will say that. Well, that's for the Hebrews. But it doesn't say, there remains therefore Sabbath keeping to the Jews. It doesn't say, there remains therefore Sabbath keeping to the Hebrews. It says, verse 9, there remains therefore sabbatismos, Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Who are the people of God? Not just the children of Israel, not just the Jews, the people of God. Now, let's come to Romans 9, and we're going to see that that includes the Gentiles. Romans, the ninth chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 23. Romans 9 and verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, that's us, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. The people of God include the Gentiles. And he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be of the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, that is, have a limited time, because a limited work will the Lord make upon the earth. That's why today it is small. That's why today it is the few. It is limited. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have been as is Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, attained to righteousness, even to the righteousness of faith. So it includes Jews and Gentiles. Now, let's come here to 1 Peter, the second chapter. And let's see then Peter in writing here in to the people, which were actually some of them used to be in Paul's territory. So this is apparently after Paul was martyred. He writes a letter and hear what he says. Verse 9, 1 Peter, the second chapter and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, including Gentiles, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the people of God include all of those that have the Holy Spirit of God. Now let's go back here to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and let's see where it also includes the Gentiles. This is important because you see, what we're doing, we're showing and establishing very clearly where it says, therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God, that includes Jews and Gentiles. This means the sneered remarks of Jewish Sabbath can be completely set aside. They don't even comprehend the Word of God. And the things that are written in this book by Tabor are very shallow indeed and shows his lack of understanding of the Scriptures. Now, 2 Corinthians 6, and let's pick it up here in verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, let's apply that to the Sabbath. If you believe in the Sabbath, why do you go to church on Sunday? Because they are unbelievers in the Sabbath. They may have a profession of Christ, but they don't believe Christ. Why? Christ said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Again, anthropos, meaning human being. That's why God made it. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath day. He will tell us what to do. That is his day. So if you go to church on Sunday, then you are walking lockstep, arm in arm with unbelievers. Because they don't believe Christ. They may profess him, but they have a different Christ. They have a different gospel. Now notice, continuing on, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And Sunday keeping is unrighteous. It's not of God. God never declared it. And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now you take a look at any church that has idols in it, and you know it's not from God. God never sent them. You want to know about the Vatican? Go look at all the idols that they have in there. And some Catholics say, well, those aren't idols. Those are idols. God said in the second commandment, which the Catholics remove, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image of anything that is in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow yourselves down to serve them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the children to the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if you have idols and you have Sunday keeping, you hate God. Well, let that sink in. A lot of people go to church and say, oh, know the Lord, love the Lord. They don't love God because they don't keep his commandments, because the Apostle John wrote, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And yet, Protestants and Catholics say that Sabbath keeping is a burden. No, it's not. Sabbath keeping is a blessing. See? Now, the truth is, the real temple of God are those who have the Spirit of God. And if you have the Spirit of God, what agreement do you have with idols? That's what Paul is saying here. He says, for you are the temple of the living God. For God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, Jews and Gentiles. Now that's profound to understand. Therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Do you understand that? Sunday has nothing to do with Christianity. It is a false Christ. It is a false gospel. It is a substitute for the true Sabbath of God, and is a work and an invention of the devices of men, which goes clear back to Egypt, because they worship the sun on Sunday. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord. If you keep Sunday, are you willing to come out from it? Are you willing to leave it? Are you willing to forsake it? Are you willing to repent of it? Are you willing to come to understand the self-righteousness involved in doing it? Are you willing to see that it's your own works and what you are doing? What is it? The only way you're going to please God is if you love him with your whole heart, all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, and if you keep his commandments and do his works and keep his laws and live his way, not some way that you think devised out of your own heart, or some way that another man has thought devised out of his own heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Are you willing to live that way? Are you willing to believe the scripture which says, therefore there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God? If you are, then you need to turn your life around and you need to repent to God for all of your Sunday keeping and all the vile abominations of the self-righteousness that goes with it. And you need to turn to God with weeping and with fasting and with mourning, and turn from those abominations. Oh, they look so good in the eyes of people. Oh, they can have great choirs. Oh, they can give great sermons, all this sort of thing to make you feel good. Like one woman I talked to, she says, well, I go to church once in a while so that I feel good. I get all fuzzy and warm. And I talked to another man. He knows about the Sabbath. He knows that it's in the Bible. He knows that's the day that God commanded. But he still goes to church on Sunday, and he says, well, God knows my heart. Yes, God does. That the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. And out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries. All of those things. Your heart cannot be right because you think it's good. Your heart can only be right because Christ makes it so, through repentance and baptism and the true receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. If you have a conversion based upon the little prayer that the Protestants give, that you open your heart and let the Lord come in, you have been lied to and fooled. You do not have Christ. You do not have the real Christ. You may profess him. But in order to really be Christ's, you've got to not only repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, but you've got to walk in the way of the Lord. You have got to keep the commandments of God. You have got to keep the Sabbath, because in the New Testament there is a direct command which says, therefore there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. That is a command of God. Now, the other question that I have here is this. Since these men who profess Sunday keeping, saying there is no direct command in the New Testament to keep the Sabbath, now that you know that that is a lie, that there is a direct commandment, and if these men knew that this was a direct commandment, would they yet keep Sabbath, or would they cling to their Sunday? I say that in their rebellion, they would keep their own Sunday. Very few might come to real repentance to keep the Sabbath. So that dispels number 3 and number 19. There is no direct command in the New Testament for keeping the Sabbath. And it gives you the truth concerning Sabbatismos and Katapazon and the rest of God and keeping the Sabbath. So what you need to do is what the Apostle Paul said. Let us labor 6 days a week to enter into that rest that is the Sabbath, so that you can be fed the true word of God. What will you do? Will you obey God? Or obey man. The overseas offices are as follows. Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, it is Post Office Box 445, Bundoora, MDC, Victoria, Postal Code 3083. For Auckland, New Zealand, the address is Post Office Box 300-552, Albany, Auckland, Postal Code 1331. The office in South Africa is Post Office Box 21279, Heldekruin, Postal Code 1733. For the United Kingdom, the address is Post Office Box 39, Tavistock, Devon, Postal Code
PL206XX.